24/7. You stand in God's grace, His unmerited favor. And you know what? The church today abuses the grace of God, and they should never do that. Never, never, never do that. Listen, we have so much grace. We have grace to be changed from glory to glory to glory.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome. It's great to have you tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. Today, we're airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study from the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. This is going to be a great study, and we encourage you to tune in every day and take this journey through 2 Corinthians along with us. Let's join Pastor Bill as he introduces this epistle with the message entitled, True Comfort.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians this morning. We're going to talk about true comfort. Say that with me. True comfort. I guess the Lord probably wanted me to go ahead instead of doing an addition to our New Year's sermon, probably, which I'll do probably later on. And speaking of our New Year's sermon, I will be having info next week of what we're getting ready to start planning and doing, the Lord willing. But true comfort. And I guess the reason the Lord did that is because the Cowboys lost last night. And I'm assuming that, you know, some of you probably are weeping. Because the Rams slaughtered them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying this. I fell asleep. Thank the Lord. I didn't cry. No. The church at Corinth, as we go back, we already know about this church. Listen, this church gave Paul the apostle more heartache, more problems than all the other churches that he planted for the Lord combined. I mean, you know the church at Corinth, you know the problem there. Here you are, you had a people who were enriched in everything, but yet they were carnal to the max. In other words, instead of filled with the Spirit, but yet they were walking after their flesh. They were carnal. They were, you know, we don't need to go back to 1 Corinthians, but they were suing one another and all the rest of the horrible things they were doing. So Paul, sometime, probably AD 56, 57, same time that he wrote 1 Corinthians, this one probably occurred, I don't know, a year later maybe, I'm not for sure. That is irrelevant, actually. But when we look at this epistle, 2 Corinthians, it is so sad. And the reason it's sad is because of what is happening. Paul is now not only having to defend his ministry, his authority, but his own character. No, I tell you, Paul loved the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, listen, this is the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of the earth, loved one. And if we went into the 13th chapter and just read, verses 1 through 3 in chapter 13 of this great epistle, we would find that Paul is saying, okay, I'm writing to you, I'm coming to you since you are seeking proof of my ministry in Christ Jesus. Okay, just this is the reason. You won't be long and you'll be seeing me. So Paul is defending himself. And the reason that that is occurring is that false teachers have now invaded the church. Could be the Judaizers, we're not for sure. But they've come in, and what they're saying is that, as we'll find out, is that Paul is abusing his privileges. He's raising money for himself. He's weak. He's not a good teacher. He's fickle. He says he's coming, then he says he's not coming. So all these things are going to be, we'll find out later on. However, 2 Corinthians, which for some reason most expositors give little information on, is one of my favorite epistles. And I'll tell you why. Because if you want to fall in love with Paul, read 2 Corinthians. There is no other book, no other epistle that he has written that bears his heart and his soul as does this epistle. This is a great eye-opening experience for all of us, loved one. You know, even at the end of the letter, Paul is going to write and he's going to say, you know, guys, the more that I love you, And he says, I would even give my life. I would spend my life for you. Give it up. He says, the more that I love you, the less you love me. Paul suffered unbelievable hurt and wounds and beatings and prisons and shipwrecks. more than any of the rest of the apostles. He was a great man of God, and he never, ever quit. You know, the word comfort, for example, Paul uses the word comfort, encouragement, I think 18 times as a verb, and I think 12 times in our epistle as used as a noun. And so comfort, isn't comfort a great word? Listen, we all want to be comforted, amen? I mean, why do you think you hear the expression all the time, comfort food? You know what the number one comfort food in America is, or Texas? A+. Chicken fried steak. You know what the number two one is? Let me read it to you. Mashed potatoes. Mac and cheese. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Grilled cheese. Pizza. Here's mine. Boiled okra. Oh, you know that's not true. Amen. No, anybody would eat boiled okra. Needs comfort for sure. You got a problem, man. You know, as any good pastor, I wanted to see what was comforting America in the psychological world today. So I went to Psych Central and found healthy ways to comfort yourself, since we're speaking about comfort this morning. Here they are. You ready? Healthy ways to comfort yourself. I'm just going to give you a few of them. Stretch your body. Okay. Next one, take a shower. Man, that's a given, okay? Visualize a peaceful image. What does that mean? Speak compassionately to yourself. Practice, this one is really good. Practice alternate nostril breathing. And this one right here, this is true. This is from a psychiatrist's office. Here's one, and there's many more, but I didn't want to go into all of them, just this one. Practice mindfulness. And I said, well, what does that mean? I'll read it. Simply focus on what you're doing right now, whether it's washing the dishes, walking to your car, sitting at your desk. For instance, if you're washing dishes, focus on the scent of the soap. Focus on the hot water cascading from the faucet and into your hands. I'm going to do that when I get home. You know, there's so much false comfort in this world, isn't there? But see, we want the true comfort of God. Loved one, look over in Paul's epistle there. Just look and let me read something about this great man of God. Look at verse 8 with me. Paul writing to this church, now look how he opens his heart. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble or the tribulation or the affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure. That means you couldn't put a tab on it. He says, not only that, we were burdened above strength so that we even despaired, even for our life. Yes, the sentence of death. It says in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. That's a perfect word. Amen. Always trust in the Lord who delivered us from so great a death and who does deliver us and whom we trust that he will still deliver us as past, present, and future. He says, and watch this, verse 11, and you also, speaking to the church, helping together. How is that done? In prayer for us. And that thanks be made given for the many persons on our behalf for the gift granted us through many. Prayer, helping one another in prayer brings comfort, doesn't it? Now listen to me. This, what I just read to you, verses 8 through 11, were written by a man who said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen? This was written by a man that raised the dead. The power of God upon him. This was a man that he could take off his sweat rag and send it out, and demons would leave people's bodies and people would be healed. Are you understanding? And yet, with all that power of God, God using him, he said, listen, man, it's bad. It's really bad. We are so pressed out of measure that I don't know what to do. That's the words from Paul, loved one. There are times in our life that we get so pressed, like not like that, but close to it. And we say, God, where are you? Amen? God, we need you. We need you to help us. And we can't run to every other thing in this life. We can only run to the one true God in order to find the true comfort of God for our hearts and souls. Amen? That's why Paul penned this. Look, beginning in verse 1, speaking about the true comfort of God this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. Let me stop right there just for a moment. When he says, and by Timothy, our brother, he is not saying, as so many teach, that Timothy is the co-author of this epistle. He is not the co-author of this epistle. This is from Paul only. Timothy is just with him. Amen? Okay. So, Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is Corinth, that church that belongs to God, that's purchased by God. And it says, with all the saints, remember what a saint is? A holy one set apart by God for the sole purpose of God. I hope that's you, that you're set apart for the sole purpose of the Lord. And all who are in Achaia, or the southern part of what we would call modern day Greece. So Paul says, listen, I'm an apostle. He starts off and he says, I've been sent by someone else, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I've been sent on a mission, and you need to be listening to me. Go see, Paul is now defending his authority and who he is. And he says, no man, no college, if we bring it up today, no Bible college, they didn't call me. It was God himself that called me. Man had no part in it at all. Called me to be an apostle, which means one who is sent with authority, with a mission, with a purpose. Man, listen, Paul says, and it was through the will of God. You know, it is always my prayer when I talk privately with believers that I always say, are you in the will of God? That's the greatest place you can be. Amen? For every Christian to say, I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm at Calvary Chapel because God called me to Calvary Chapel. Amen? Or I'm at this church over here. Why? God has called me. He says, man, listen, I'm in the will of God. There is nothing greater than to stand in the will of God. No higher purpose, no safer place anywhere in the universe. Amen? Boy, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:17, it says, listen, the world, meaning the world that hates Jesus, that hates Christians, the world that we live in today that's taking down crosses all over our nation, the world that persecutes us, he says, oh, it's passing away and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God, abideth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, to be in the will of God, to be the whirlwind of God, amen? To be in his will, to be in it and moving in that adventure. Boy, there's no greater place to be. There's not a safer place to be. And that's what Paul was saying. And he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what a perfect reminder, not only for them, but for us in the 21st century. Grace, God's unmerited, undeserved, divine, incredible favor from heaven. Amen? Did you know that you abide, according to Romans 5:2, that you abide in the grace of God today, tomorrow, next week, next year, forever, 24/7? You stand in God's grace, his unmerited favor. And you know what? The church today abuses the grace of God, and they should never do that. They should never take the grace of God in vain. Never, never, never do that. Listen, we have so much grace. We have grace to be changed in 2019 from glory to glory to glory. Amen? It's all there. We have grace to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have grace to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have grace in 2019 to be God's whirlwind. Amen? That's where we are going. And not only that, just like they had the grace, we have it. They had the peace of God, we have it. Listen, we have the peace of Christ right now, and God's not mad at us. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have, past tense, present reality. We have peace with God. God's not mad at us. We're in his Son, who died for us, and we now are beneficiaries of his righteousness. Amen? Thank God for that. Man, we stand in him because we believe in the Lord as our Savior. We have his peace. See, to have the peace of Jesus Christ is to have his presence living in you. Read John 14:27. You'll see what I mean. Now, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, plural, and the God of all comfort. Listen, this is the greatest single passage in the entire Bible on God's comfort. Paul experienced God's comfort. Have you? There's nothing greater than to experience his comfort. And no wonder Paul opens up this letter when he uses that word blessed. That word literally means praise or celebrate the Lord. Amen? Praise be unto God. Why? Why, Paul? Because he's the object of our praise. He is our Father. He is our Savior. But more than that, Paul says, you know what? The reason I'm praising him, they're attacking me. That's why Paul is writing that to them. You're attacking my character, my ministry, my authority, who I am in Christ. I planted you guys. That's what Paul is referencing to. He says, but you know what? In the midst of all of that, no matter what you're saying about me, no matter what you're trying to do to me, I stand in God's comfort. I stand in God's mercy. He comforts me. He loves me. He is with me right now. Listen, God is the Father of mercies, plural. That word means he is the compassionate Father, or the Father of compassion, or he is literally the creator, the originator. He is the only source of true mercy and true comfort in this universe. Amen? It's easy to say that, but do you believe that? See, that's why that is so important. You remember when Judah was under siege by the Babylonians there when they were attacking Jerusalem and they were taking them. Remember what the Babylonians did, the soldiers? They raped the women. They tied up the princes by their thumbs. They were starving to death. The nation had gone under because of their sins. You know, and there lying in the ruins, all the stuff that was there, you know what God said to Jeremiah is out there? He's weeping, seeing all the suffering, all the destruction. He writes in Lamentations chapter 3, 21, he says, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now, what did Jeremiah remember in the midst of all that suffering and all that destruction to his people? He says, through the Lord's mercies, plural, we're not consumed, because his compassions, plural, fail not. You know why they don't fail? They're unlimited. He goes on to say, they are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Listen, Judah failed, but God never fails. Judah abandoned God, but God never abandoned Judah. And he will never abandon us. Amen? Why? Great is his faithfulness. Oh, he's the Father of mercy. He's the Father and God of all comfort. We live in a world, man, that is falling apart, and they're looking for comfort, and they're doing so in all the wrong places. You know that, and I know that. And you know what? God is the only God of mercy, and he is the only God of comfort. And the world is looking for both. And they can't find it. They run to this and they run to that, but they don't know where to look. But we know where to look. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:16, it says, come boldly with confidence. Come boldly through Christ Jesus. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? That's where we need to go. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. You see, that's where it's located. That's where God is, amen? And you may obtain mercy and find help and grace in time of need. To have a place that we can go that dispenses the mercy of God, the comfort of God. That's why prayer is so important, loved one. To go, you can go anytime. We have a God, it says in Ephesians 2:4, I believe, our God who is rich in mercy through his great love, that how he loved us, made us alive together, or quickened us. We're now new creations in Christ. Amen. Our Savior is alive. The Bible says in Hebrews that we have a merciful and faithful high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, he's merciful. He understands. Do you know you need mercy? I need mercy. Amen. Mercy is what covers us. Mercy is what's good to us. Grace forgives us, but mercy is what we need. Oh, and I thank God that he is so merciful. You know, where do you really go, loved one, when you need help? Really, where do you turn to? You know, the world will train you to turn to it if you're not careful. But God says, you know, I want you to turn to me. I have found this, that Hebrews 4:16 is a great place to go to. I cannot tell you the great things that God has done for me from this verse. You know, it was many years ago at 5 a.m. in the morning, I was going to preach from, I was in Hebrews actually, and I was preaching this verse. And I'll never forget how I told the Lord, I said, how can I go out there again and stand before your people and, Lord, preach this throne of grace, a throne, Lord, where you say mercy is available, grace is available, and help is available 24/7. All I have to do is come boldly. And I said, here I am. And I said, I'm suffering from depression for 18 straight months because of my thyroid, which the doctors couldn't figure it out. Didn't know what was wrong with me. Hopeless. And I told the Lord, I said, how can I do it? I can't face the people with hopelessness in my heart and preach hope. And immediately God healed me. After 18 months, he took that away. You know why? He's the Father of mercy. He's the God of all comfort, amen? He comforts us in all our tribulations. Listen, go to the throne of grace. Right now, he's waiting on you. You can go home. When you go home, go to the throne of grace. I tell you, he is ready. He's asking you to come boldly and meet with him. And that's either real or it's not real. It's either available or it's not available. God is either telling the truth or he is lying. And God, it says in Titus 1:2, cannot lie. You go to the throne of grace. Remember what King David writes there in that great 23rd Psalm? He says, he cries out and he says, surely, I mean, it's a fact, it's proven. Surely, goodness and what? Mercy. God's mercy, not man's mercy, not man's goodness. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. You know, that word follow, as you've heard me teach in the Hebrew, that word means like an animal in hot pursuit of its prey. That's exactly God's mercy, God's goodness is trying to always overtake you. It's always right behind you. Why? Because he is the God of mercy, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Look at this again. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of all comfort. That's why we need to praise him. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. Listen, the word comfort comes from the Greek word parakaleo, okay? And you know that word para. Para means alongside of. Kaleo, that word means called. So it's the word parakaleo means called alongside to encourage, to assist, to help, to strengthen, to exhort, to comfort. That's what that word means. Did you know we use the same word for the Holy Spirit, don't we? Let me read it to you. John 14:16. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father. He will give you another parakaleo, another comforter, another helper, another strengthener, another standby. That's what that word means, an advocate, that he may abide para with, para alongside of you, para forever. See, right this minute, you have the Holy Spirit, not only in you, but right beside you. Do you really believe that? I mean, he is right beside you right this minute. He knows everything about you, what you're thinking, what you should be thinking. He knows exactly the plan of God for your life. He is the parakaleo. He's been called alongside of you to comfort you because you're going to hurt in this life sometimes. He's going to come alongside to impart mercy because sometimes you're going to need mercy in this life. He goes and he says, Jesus said, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you another helper. Remember, another means another of the same kind. The Holy Spirit has been called by some expositors Jesus's other self. That's why Jesus said in John 14:18, I will not leave you orphans or helpless. I will come to you. That's what paraclete. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Jesus said, my Father and I will make our homes in your heart. You have the complete Godhead with you. Do you understand? Alongside of you to assist you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Comfort is a wonderful word.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Amen. We appreciate you listening to the broadcast today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth,
Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.